Vande tam srimad advaita acharyam adbhuta chestitam yasya prasadad agyopi tatsvarupam nirupayet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pancha sloke kahilashi Nityananda tattva shlokadvayi kahi Advaita Acharya ramatattva. In five verses I have described the principles of Nityananda Prabhu. Then in the following two verses I describe the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnur jagat karta mayaya srijat yadaha tasyavatara evayam Advaita Acharya Ishwaraha. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Advaitam harinadvaitad acharyam bhakti samshanad bhaktavataram isham tam advaitacharyam ashraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Advaita, Advaita Acharya Gosai Shakshadishwara Yanhara Mahimanahi Jivede Gochana. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu Sriti Korin Jagad Adikarya Tandra Avatara Shakshad Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. Ye Purusha Sriti Stiti Korina Mayaya Ananta Brahmanda Sriti Korina Lilaya. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. Ichai Ananta Murti Korina Prakash Eka Eka Murti Korin Brahmanande Pravesha. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Se purusher amsa advaita nahi kechu beda sarira vishesha tanha nahi ka vicheda. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. Sahaya korina tandra laila pradhana koti brahmanda korina ichaya nirmana. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Jagat mangala advaita mangala gunadhama mangala charitra sada mangala yandra nama. Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious to the world, for he is the reservoir of all auspicious attributes. His characteristics and activities and name are always auspicious. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditional life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Vishnu are one and the same because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala is another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the casual incarnation or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Today we are celebrating the most auspicious appearance of Sri Advaita Acharya, who is glorified eternally as the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Pancha-tattvatmakam-krishnam-bhakta-rupa-svarupakam bhakta-avataram-bhakta-kyam-namami-bhakta-shakti-kam. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead descended in five pure transcendental forms. The Lord divided himself in such a way to perform the most wonderful of all his pastimes, the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Lord Krishna, wanting to taste the sweetness of the love of Srimati Radharani, decided to descend into this material world. He also observed that it was the time for the Yuga Avatar to appear. In every age of Kali Yuga, the Lord appears to propagate the Yuga Dharma, or the congregational chanting of the holy name. So the Supreme Lord, with this in mind, decided to combine both of these purposes and descend to this material world. But first, he sent many of his eternal associates, his expansions and incarnations, to, let us say, set the stage for his glorious advent.
Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, Madhavendra Puri, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Ishwara Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srivas Pandit, Ramai Pandit, and Sri Advaita Acharya.
Sri Advaita Acharya, as is explained here, was the incarnation of Mahavishnu. Who is Mahavishnu? He is the original Purusha. When the Supreme Lord decides to create this material cosmos, Krishna, who expands as Balaram, later is the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha Pradyumna, Shankarshan, and Vasudev. That Shankarshan, he expands as Narayan, Vasudev, Narayan, and Shankarshan descends as Anantashesh. And for the purpose of creation, the Lord expands in such a wonderful, marvelous form, Karunodakshayi Vishnu, who is so immense in size that upon his exhalation, innumerable universes come from the pores of his body. And that same Mahavishnu, through his merciful glance, impregnates each of these universes with the various jivatmas, or living entities. And then Karunodakshayi Vishnu expands as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu within each universe. And from him, the lotus flower grows from the navel, and Lord Brahma is born. And Brahma, empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he creates all of the phenomena within this universe. So we can understand that Karunodakshayi Vishnu, or Mahavishnu, is the immediate cause of this entire material creation. And we should know, what is the purpose of this material creation? The ultimate purpose is to be an atmosphere by which the independent jivas, who have misused their free will to want to enjoy separate from Krishna, to ultimately be frustrated and cry out for Krishna's mercy and again be reinstated in their original constitutional position of bhakti, devotional service. Like a prison house, the actual purpose of a prison house is not simply to punish, but to rectify. To rectify the living entities through various punishments and ultimately bring them to their good common sense and in this material existence when we take shelter of Krishna and his lotus feet, we can be freed from the cycle of birth and death. We can be freed from
all of the entanglements and the threefold miseries of material existence. So it was Mahavishnu, who is the immediate cause of this entire material creation, whose obvious meditation is to do this for the sake of reclaiming the fallen souls. He descended within this material creation, especially to fulfill the purpose of his creation, which was to beg the Supreme Lord to descend within this world to propagate the ways and the means by which everyone can be delivered, and that is through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It was in the village of Navagram, which is very close to the place called Srihatta in Bengal, that Sri Advaitacharya appeared. He appeared within the womb of his blessed mother, Nabha Devi, and his father's name was Kuvera Pandit. In the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, besides explaining Advaitacharya as the incarnation of Mahavishnu, it also tells that he was incarnation of Sadashiva, the original form of Lord Shankar. Of course, this is not a contradiction, because both Sadashiva and Mahavishnu are expansions of Lord Shankarshan or Balaram. It is said that once on Mount Kailash, Lord Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, was worshiping Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva granted him a benediction, and he desired that Lord Shiva would take birth as his son and that he could love him as a father. So to fulfill that desire, Kuvera appeared as Kuvera Pandit, and Lord Shankar, in his original form of Sadashiva, appeared as Advaita Acharya. When he was born, he was given two principal names, Kamalaksha and Advaita. When he was very young, only about 4 years old, his father and mother, wanting to move close to the river Ganges, they left Navagram and moved to Shantipur and arranged for their family residence there. When Sri Advaitacharya was only about 8 years old, he was initiated with the sacred Brahman thread, Gayatri Mantra. His family was a very highly esteemed, learned family of Brahmins and very, very great devotees of Lord Krishna. His father and mother, from his earliest childhood, would be very anxious that the goal of their life as parents was that their son becomes a pure, unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna. So they were always teaching him the various scriptures by which he could understand the highest principles of bhakti. When Sri Advaitacharya was still quite young, both of his parents left this world. And upon the demise of his mother and father, he temporarily left Shantipur. He traveled to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony. And then he decided to go to the various holy places throughout India. During this Tirtha Yatra, he met Srila Madhavendra Puri, the most exalted of all spiritual personalities, who embodied the highest ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And there he accepted Sri Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master. One may ask, why does the Supreme Lord accept a spiritual master? For several reasons. One is when the Lord descends, he comes to show by his example how everyone should progress in life. Advaitacharya appeared in the role of a devotee. And one cannot perfect one's spiritual quest without properly being initiated and taking shelter of a true devotee of the Lord and accepting him as one's spiritual master. And also, the Lord accepts this relationship simply to give pleasure to his devotee. The Lord takes great joy in being subordinate to his devotee, sometimes by being his son, sometimes by being his disciple. Sri Advaitacharya was given in marriage to two sisters, Sita Thakurani and Sri Devi. He gave birth to six sons through Sita Thakurani, the youngest of which and the most glorious was Achyutananda. Sri Advaitacharya, wanting to, he was also very dear, beloved friends with Sri Haridas Thakur. Haridas at one time was living in Fulia. He came there especially so that he could reside next to Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya at that time was considered the greatest of all the Vaishnavas, of all the devotees in the entire world. In fact, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that in the whole creation of Lord Brahma, Advaitacharya was the foremost of all Vaishnavas. Haridas Thakur and Sri Advaitacharya would take the greatest joy and pleasure in chanting the holy names together and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the other bhakti shastras. But Sri Advaita was very pained to see the condition of human society in this age of Kali Yuga. And there was practically no real devotees anywhere around to associate with. But one of the great, great devotees of the Lord was Srivas Thakur. He and his brothers, who were living in Navadvip, would be regularly having wonderful kirtans in their home, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Advaitacharya set up a small bhajan kutir on the banks of the river Ganges in Navadvip, just close to the house of Srivas Thakur. And in that bhajan kutir, he would each day give classes from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the Vaishnavas, they would come together at Advaitacharya's house each day to hear his wonderful, wonderful descriptions of the glories of Lord Krishna. He was a great learned scholar, and he would extract the essence of pure bhakti from all the scriptures. And he would completely annihilate all misconceptions misconception that there is any real value in approaching the Lord with fruitive desires or with an impersonalistic conception. In this way, he would exalt only the principles of bhakti, and he would kick every other idea out. And how he would glorify Krishna's holy names. It was at that time that Sri Advaita Charya and all the other Vaishnavas were becoming more and more and more depressed and despondent to see the condition of the people of Navadvip Dham. See, the nature of a true Vaishnava is he cannot be content simply by loving Krishna himself. Paradukaduki, a Vaishnava feels great distress to see the suffering and ignorance of others. Although Advaita Acharya and the devotees, they were in great happiness hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, they saw that human society was suffering. But they didn't know they were suffering. They were simply wasting their existence. In those days, Navadvip was the high seat of learning in all of the world. And therefore, the residents of Navadvip were very blessed by the goddess of fortune, and there was tremendous riches. And therefore, these people were simply utilizing their lives to enjoy their senses. They would worship the goddess Chandi or the goddess Durga for more and more and more material enjoyment. Some of them would worship Manasa, the goddess of the snakes, for all sorts of superstitious purposes. People would sometimes spend large amounts of money for crazy forms of enjoyment. They would gamble and bet on fighting of dogs or cats. They would spend lavish amounts of money on their sons' or daughters' marriages. And even the great Brahmins, who had the highest titles, Mishra, Bhattacharya, Chakravarti, they would be giving class after class after class on the scriptures. But they had no devotion. They wouldn't even touch the principles of bhakti in any of their explanations. In this way, they were so completely immersed in material consciousness that it was practically never that anyone would chant the name of Krishna, which is the only religious principle in this age of Kali Yuga. So upon seeing this, the Vaishnavas were feeling very grief-stricken in their hearts. Srivas Thakur and Ramai and his other brothers, they would be having wonderful kirtans in their house, crying out the holy names of the Lord, praying for the deliverance of all of these ignorant people. And although they were actually chanting for the benefit of human society, people who are ignorant, they cannot understand what is for their benefit. Historically, throughout human society, we see that those who are the best well-wishers trying to work for the benefit of someone become their worst enemies because of their ignorance. So the materialistic people, They considered Srivast Thakur and all the Vaishnavas to be such a disturbance, although they were only chanting for the purification of them. They don't have wealth like us. They're useless, and they're making so much noise, they're disturbing our sleep, and because they're chanting the names of God so loudly, the Muslim leaders will come and torture all of us. We should take the house of Srivast Thakur, and with him and his brothers, we should throw it in the Ganges and let it float some distant place. In this way, they were responding to the loving prayers of Srivast and the devotees. When Advaita Acharya saw the condition, he understood that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form of Krishna can possibly deliver the fallen souls in this age of Kali Yuga. And with a heart overbrimming with divine compassion, Sri Advaita Acharya, in his little bhajan kutir on the bank of the river Ganges, he worshipped his beloved form of Krishna, Shalagram Shila. And he would offer tulsi leaves and the holy river, Ganges, water. And with loud cries, he would plead, he would beg for Krishna to descend to deliver the fallen souls. And as he was crying out with a loud voice, which roared with such devotion, that voice would penetrate through all the coverings of the material existence. It would bypass all the heavenly planets. It entered through the Brahmajyoti and into the spiritual world. And it is described that it reached the supreme abode of Vaikuntha and ultimately to Goloka Vrindavan, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead heard very clearly the loving cries of Sri Advaita. But of course we know that the various incarnations of the Lord who come to this world come through Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is laying in an ocean of milk. And it is described that as Lord Vishnu was resting on Anantashesha in the ocean of milk, the cries of Advaita Acharya woke him up. And he heard the loving appeal of his devotees, "Please, my Lord, come to this world. It is only you that can distribute the holy name of Krishna to these most unfortunate souls in this age of Kali." And as Advaita Acharya was crying, tears were flowing from his beautiful lotus-like eyes in compassion for all living beings. So many times, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would explain that he only came to this material world because of the prayers of Sri Advaita. In response to the loving appeal of Sri Advaita Chandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, appeared within the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi in the house of Jagannath Mishra in Navadvip Dham. At that time, Advaita Acharya was living with Haridas Thakur in Shantipur. When Lord Gauranga appeared on that blessed night of the full moon of the month of Palgun during the lunar eclipse, everything became auspicious. The whole world became auspicious. And Sri Advaita and Haridas, upon seeing auspicious signs all around and feeling an inconceivable ecstasy within their own hearts, they could both understand that the Lord had appeared, and they began to dance together in ecstatic love. And the people around could not understand for what reason they began to dance so jubilantly. Sri Advaita Acharya sent his beloved consort, Sita Thakurani, to Navadvip to bring special gifts for the blessings of the newborn child. And Sri Advaita Acharya also personally came to offer his prayers and blessings to the child. And when they saw the infant baby, they had the realization that this is none other than Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, who has appeared with the most beautiful, effulgent, golden complexion. His name was Gaur Hari. But by the divine arrangement of the Lord, remembrance and forgetfulness become part of the ecstasy of their Leela. So, little Nimai, when he started getting older, he became very mischievous. And he really didn't show much signs of interest in devotion, but he became a great scholar of grammar. Although on rare and confidential occasions he would reveal his divinity. In general, he would harass devotees in a very respectful and humble way. He would approach them, and devotees, they cannot tolerate hearing anything but Krishna Katha. But Nimai would challenge them with all sorts of academic questions. And he would get them in arguments. But the devotees had no interest in these things. Some of our children, they go to school and they learn all these academic subjects. And although many of them are doing very wonderful, they really don't like it. Because we found in the life of Nimai and his friends that the devotees just don't, they have no interest in academic subjects unless they are specifically glorifying Krishna. It's simply painful for them to hear. So we should understand when our children get a taste for Krishna consciousness, it is a great austerity to go to school and hear anything that's not glorifying Krishna. But still, it is an austerity that they must perform. But we cannot blame them when they don't like it. If they like it, that means they have no taste for Krishna. Arivo. So it's actually a good sign when they don't like it. That means they're following in the footsteps of the associates of Mahaprabhu. But still they went. So, the devotees would pray. If only this Nimai Pandit would become a devotee, he could make the whole world Krishna conscious. Sometimes, Vishwarup, the elder brother of little Nimai, he had no interest in anything but Krishna Katha. When he would rise in the morning early, he would go to the river Ganges to take his bath, and then he would go right to the house of Advaita Acharya, who at that time was living in Navadvip. And he would spend the entire day just hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from Sri Advaita. And sometimes Advaitacharya would ask Vishwarup to speak about the glories of Krishna. And although he was just a young boy, he was so pure, he was so humble, and he was so learned that when Vishwarup would speak, all the devotees would just be struck with wonder. Advaitacharya, who would sometimes be doing his puja in other forms of worship, he would simply have to stop to hear the nectarine ambrosial waves that were emanating from Vishwarup's lotus-like mouth as he would glorify the pure principles of bhakti. One day, Mother Sachi, she prepared lunch, and she told little Nimai, Gauranga, that you go to Advaita Acharya's house and you bring Vishwarup, your brother, home for prasad. So little Nimai, with bare chest, covered with dust from his playing, he ran to the house of Advaita Acharya. And when he came, they were all discussing Krishna Katha. And Nimai was very pleased that they were discussing his glories. And he went into the house. And when he entered, upon seeing his beauty, the devotees could no longer even talk about Krishna. They just began to look at him with such love in their eyes. Their hearts were filled, swollen with ecstasy. They couldn't even blink their eyes upon seeing this beautiful golden child. And Nimai would say, Vishwarup, Mataji is calling you for prasad. And he would grab him by dhoti and pull him, and then they would both go running back to Sachi Devi's house. And Advaitacharya and all the devotees, they couldn't even move. They were stunned with ecstatic love. And Advaita was thinking that this child, he is not an ordinary mortal. Who could he possibly be? When I see him, I feel the same ecstasy as seeing Krishna. But by divine lila, he was not able to recognize little Nimai's true nature. Sometime later, the Lord went to Gaya Dham, and there he was initiated by Ishwarapuri. And after that initiation ceremony, after his visit to the Gadadhar Mandir in Gaya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu began to display his divine lila of spreading the holy name of Krishna throughout the world. For the first time, he truly exhibited his inner ecstasies of Mahabhava, or divine love of Krishna. And when he came back to Navadvip Dham, he was like a different person altogether. He couldn't speak anything but Krishna's glories. And he was constantly immersed in the transcendental ecstasy of separation, crying out, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where has he gone? Why has he left me? He was weeping ecstatic tears, and all the symptoms of ecstasy in its highest intensity were manifesting on his body. Upon hearing this, Sri Advaita Acharya, he became very happy. He became ecstatic. He approached the devotees and he told them that last night I had a dream. In that dream, a great personality appeared to me and told me that you have gone to rest tonight in a depressed state because you were not understanding a particular verse from the Bhagavad Gita. But now I tell you this, that there's no reason to be depressed ever again, because the fulfillment of all of your desires has come about. All of your prayers, all of your life is now revealing his pastimes in this world. And after this wonderful dream, Advaita Acharya said, I saw the beautiful form of Vishwambhar, and I could understand that yes, this Gauranga Mahaprabhu Vishwambhar is a special personality. It's a supreme personality. And then Advaita Acharya told all the devotees that this is the greatest, most illustrious moment in our lives, that Vishwambhar is exhibiting the ecstasies of love of God, and he will be the one to propagate the holy name of the Lord in every town and village throughout creation. So let us all pray and give all blessings to Vishwambhar Nimai Pandit for a successful mission of spreading Prema Bhakti. On another occasion, Sri Advaita Acharya, he was in his home in Navadvip, and he was performing his puja. He was offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water, and he was crying out Krishna's names, roaring like a lion with such devotion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. At that time, Lord Gaurasundara and Gadadhar Pandit came to Advaita Acharya's house. And when Gaurasundara heard Advaita Acharya's beautiful prayers of ecstatic love and saw how he was worshiping the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so much ecstatic that he fell to the ground unconscious. At that time, Sri Advaita Acharya could recognize that yes, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is the confirmation that the Lord has answered my prayers and descended into this world, and I will worship him. And Advaita Acharya got all the 16 types of paraphernalia and chanting the beautiful mantra, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. He began to worship the beautiful form of Vishwambhar. With the five-pronged ghee lamp, with incense, with all different types of flowers and scents, he worshiped the Lord with great reverence and devotion. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit, he said, Advaita Acharya, you are a very elderly, senior Brahmin man. He said, why are you worshiping this young child? It does not befit you. And Advaita Acharya said to Gadadhar Pandit, you should know that this is the Lord of all of creation. This is the supreme worshipable object of everyone's heart. This is the personality of Godhead, Krishna. In this way, he continued with his worship with great joy in his heart. You can imagine that for so many years he was praying to the Lord to appear, and here was his first opportunity to worship that Lord. At that time, Vishwambhar awoke from his ecstatic trance, and he saw Advaita Acharya in the process of worshiping him and chanting beautiful mantras. So Vishwambhar very humble. He bowed down and began to take the dust from Advaitacharya's lotus feet. And very humble, he began to worship Advaita as his senior. And Advaitacharya told him that I know who you are. In this way, the Lord became very pleased with Advaitacharya's devotion, and he returned to his home. But Advaitacharya wanted the whole world to understand the glories of Nimai Pandit. So he said, I will test him. I will leave this place, and I will go to Shantipur. And if I have any real devotion, then he will tie me with the binds of his love, and he will bring me back to Navadvip. So Advaitacharya left, and he went to Shantipur. One day, Lord Chaitanya, he called for the brother of Srivas Thakur, Ramai, and he told him that I want you to deliver a message to Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. Tell him that with so many prayers of love, he has called for me. He woke me up while I was sleeping in the ocean of milk. I have come to this world, and now he has left. Tell him that his worshipable Lord, the fulfillment of all of his desires, my appearance is here in Navadvip, and he should come, and he should worship me to his heart's content. So Ramai went all the way to Shantipur, and he delivered this message to Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, he looked at Ramai. He said, what nonsense you are speaking? He says, according to the scripture, where does it say that the Lord takes birth with a beautiful golden complexion in Navadvip in the age of Kali Yuga? And Ramai Pandit said that the Lord and you, no one can understand your pastimes together. And Advaita was satisfied with an answer something like this. And then he called for Sita, his wife. And when they heard this, Sita Devi began to cry in ecstatic love, weeping that the Lord is calling for them, that he has appeared in this world to fulfill the prayers of Advaita. Advaita was crying, Sita Thakurani was crying, little Achyutananda, who was just a young child, upon hearing this message, he began to weep and cry, tears profusely. The whole family was weeping and crying in ecstatic love. And somehow or other, they gained their composure, and Advaitacharya collected all the ingredients of worship, and along with Sita Thakurani, they went to Navadvip. But Advaitacharya told Ramai that I will not go to the house of Srivas, but I will go to the house of Nandanacharya, and I will hide there. Let us see if the Lord can find me. So he went to Nandanacharya's house, and Lord Gauranga, who was then at Srivas Thakur's house, he told one of the devotees to go, you go to Nandanacharya's house and tell Advaita to come. So Advaita was very happy, and he came. And when he fell before the beautiful form of the Lord, who was then sitting on the throne of Vishnu in Srivasa's house, Lord Chaitanya, he manifested before Advaita his beautiful supreme form, the personality of Godhead, his threefold bending form, playing a flute. And Advaitacharya saw right before his eyes that there were the beautiful land of Vrindavan with wonderful trees, the river Jamuna, And on another part of the room, he saw
all the demigods showering flowers and offering prayers to the Lord.
And in another direction, he saw all of the great saints and sages throughout the universe, all with folded palms offering prayers to the Lord. In this way, all of space, there was no place where he didn't see the wonderful manifestation of great personalities worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in great love, he fell prostrated at the feet of the Lord. And right in front of everyone's eyes, the Lord placed his lotus feet on Sri Advaitacharya's head. And everyone, in great love, began to cry, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
So happy to see Advaitacharya receiving this mercy from the Lord. When Advaitacharya came up, the Lord asked him, please, ask a benediction of me. Any boon I will grant. And Advaitacharya said that you have already fulfilled all my desires just by seeing you in this wonderful manifestation. I have no other desire. The Lord said, no, you must ask for one boon. So Advaitacharya said, give pure love of God through your holy name to even the most fallen and sinful persons, without regard of whether they are women or whether they are men, whether they are chandalas, whether they are shudras, even the lowest and the most sinful, give your mercy to even them. Give them the chance to chant your holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And he said, only those puffed up so-called learned scholars who offend your devotees, don't give them your mercy. But everyone else, you must give your mercy. Give them love of Krishna. And the Lord said, because of your prayer, Advaita, because of the benediction that you have asked, the holy name of the Lord will spread throughout the world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. On another occasion, there was a beautiful kirtan in the courtyard of the house of Srivas Thakur. And Sri Advaita Acharya began to dance very ecstatically. He was actually in the mood of the gopis, feeling ecstatic depression in separation from Krishna. And he was dancing in such wonderful ways. So unique. His dancing was most beautiful. Actually, I forgot one thing. When Lord Chaitanya was at Srivas's house, before he asked Advaita to ask for a boon, after Advaita saw this whole manifestation and the Lord put his feet on his head, Lord Chaitanya told Advaita, I want to see you dance. And Advaitacharya began to dance, and he danced so wonderfully, so beautifully, so gracefully, so ecstatically, that everyone was completely satisfied. Then the Lord asked, ask a benediction from me. And actually what Advaita said is, the fact that you allowed me to dance in front of you is the fulfillment of all my desires. But then he insisted on another benediction, and he asked to deliver all living beings. So on this day, which happened shortly after, Advaitacharya began to dance in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, and he was dancing in such a trance of love that nobody could stop him. He danced for hours and hours, and all the other devotees were exhausted. So somehow or other, they calmed Advaitacharya down from his ecstatic love, and he sat down, and he seemed peaceful and serene. So Srivas and Ramai and the other devotees decided to go to the Ganges to take their bath. And Advaita was sitting alone. At that time, Lord Vishwambhar, he decided he will give special mercy to Advaitacharya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Srivas Thakur, and he met Advaita, who was sitting there very peacefully, and he took his hand and brought him into the temple of Srivas. And he said, "Advaita, please ask a boon from me." And Advaita Acharya, he said, "All right. I want to see that wonderful universal form that you showed Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra." And at that time, Lord Chaitanya created a wonderful vision. And Advaitacharya saw that right before him was the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he saw the beautiful chariot of Krishna. And on the chariot was Krishna with four arms, holding the conch shell, the chakra, the lotus flower, and the conch shell, and the club. And he saw Arjuna standing with folded palms. And around he saw all the armies, millions and millions of soldiers. And then he saw the beautiful form of Krishna manifest into the Virat Rupa, the universal form. It was so big, it was covering all directions. He saw all the planets, all the stars, everything within this form, all the mountains, all the rivers, all the oceans of the whole universe, of the whole cosmic manifestation. And then he saw all the great demigods. And he saw in this universal form, there were millions of heads and millions of eyes and millions of mouths. And then he saw all the evil, atheistic and materialistic people being devoured by those mouths, which was the form of eternal time. Upon seeing this, Sri Advaita Acharya, he became very much ecstatic in love and bowed down before this wonderful universal form. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu, within his heart, he knew that Gauranga Mahaprabhu was showing his Virat Rupa to Advaita. So he also came right into the house of Srivas Thakur and closed the door. And there he saw, right before him, Lord Chaitanya revealing the Virat Rupa. And Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, upon seeing it in great awesomeness, they began to dance in ecstatic love. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared again in his original form. Both of these great devotees, feeling very much satisfied, they worshiped the Lord. In this way, we can understand that Sri Advaitacharya was so much loved by the Lord. It's becoming late, so I will not go on too much longer. But there is another beautiful story I'd like to tell. Because Advaita Acharya was the spiritual uncle of Lord Chaitanya. He was actually the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's guru. Lord Chaitanya, who generally was in the mood of a devotee, he would very carefully follow the etiquette of Vaishnavas. And the etiquette of Vaishnavas is that you must treat the godbrothers of your guru with the same type of respect as you show to your guru. So he would always be very, very humble and address Advaitacharya like his own spiritual master. And Advaitacharya, he didn't like this at all, because he knew that Nimai was his worshipable lord, and he wanted him to accept him as a servant, not as a master. He used to call him Advaita Prabhu. Prabhu means master. He would treat him like a superior. So Advaitacharya, as the days were going by, he was becoming very much depressed. That unless the Lord accepts me as a servant, how can I find any peace in this world? And he decided, I will force him to accept me as a servant. And I know just the way how. So Advaitacharya left Navadvip. He went to Shantipur, and he began to preach the philosophy of the Yoga Vashishta. Yoga Vashishta means the interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, which is Mayavad, impersonal. And he was preaching Mayavad philosophy. He was preaching to everyone that bhakti is all right, but without speculative knowledge and impersonal realization, bhakti really has no meaning at all. That ultimately the Lord is impersonal. His eyes, his hands, his legs, his form, his pastimes, they are all maya. They are all an illusion. They are all temporary. We must go beyond bhakti and enter into jnana, enter into Brahman, the highest realizations of the Supreme. Advaitacharya was boldly preaching these things. And Haridas Thakur, he would listen and he would simply laugh, because he knew that this is some sort of a trick that the Lord, that Advaitacharya is doing. Anyways, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard that Advaitacharya is preaching Mayavad philosophy. So he said to Nityananda Prabhu, let us go to Shantipur. So they began to walk from Navadvip to Shantipur. On the way, they came to the house of this one sannyasi. You know the story? Want to tell it? They came to this one sannyasi's house, and Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya, they were both very young. They offered respects to this sannyasi, and this sannyasi gave them benediction. He said, may you have great wealth and high learning, and may you have a beautiful wife and wonderful pleasures of this world. And Lord Chaitanya looked at the sannyasi and said, what type of benediction is that? I don't want a material benediction. Why don't you give me the blessing that I will become a good devotee of Krishna? And the sannyasi became very upset. He said, look at these two children. They think they can tell me what a benediction is? You're like immature young people, I am giving you the best benedictions of prosperity and pleasures of this world, and you're rejecting it? Ungrateful? You think you know? You think you know more than me? All the years I've been in this world, I'm a sannyasi? Anyways, they had little argument. Lord Chaitanya started explaining how all the things of this world are all temporary, they're all an illusion. And this man was becoming very much disturbed. Who are you to tell me what is reality? He said, without nice, beautiful wife, without nice pleasures and money, no one can be happy in this world. So upon seeing this, Nityananda Prabhu intervened, and he said to the sannyasi, actually, you are very senior to us. You should not take our immature statements very seriously. You should forgive us for our arguments. And then the sannyasi was saying, and he would say, you are very learned. You are very renounced. And the sannyasi said, yes, that is correct. He said, so why don't you have some nice fruits and some nice prasad at my house? Yeah, now you could take your bath in the river Ganges, and when you return, I will arrange. So they went to take their bath, and they came back to take prasad. And then, as they were just finishing the prasad, the sannyasi said to Nityananda, can I give you some happiness? And Nityananda Prabhu, he already had traveled to all holy places. He knew what this meant, that this sannyasi was an alcoholic, he was a drunkard, and happiness meant liquor. He said, can I give you some happiness? Please take some happiness and be happy. And then the sannyasi's girlfriend came in. And anyways, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda explained to Lord Chaitanya that this is his girlfriend and he wants us to drink liquor. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda humbly excused themselves and went to the river Ganges to take bath. Why does this story appear in Chaitanya Bhagavat? It wanted to show how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a fallen sannyasi, who's a drunkard, he will give his mercy to. He will give his mercy to even such a person. It is explained that this person, because he rendered some service to the Lord, he would have to take another birth, but his next birth would be an auspicious birth. But Lord Chaitanya is willing to be kind and generous, even to the most fallen, degraded. But as we're about to see, he would not show such mercy to those who are misconstruing the Vedic knowledge in the impersonalistic, according to impersonalistic conclusions. He would not associate with them. Vrindavan Das Thakur said, this fallen sannyasi who was a drunkard and a woman hunter, Lord Chaitanya stayed at his house and accepted some fruits. But the Mayavadi sannyasis at Varanasi, even though he lived in Varanasi for a month, he would not even look at them. Even though they were constantly inviting him, he would never go to where they were. Anyways, they floated down the Ganges all the way to Shantipur, and then Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out, and they went to Advaitacharya's house, and as they came in, Advaitacharya was just giving a class from the Yoga Vasishta, and when he heard that Nimai Pandit, Vishwambhar, and Nityananda had arrived, he wanted to really make sure Lord Chaitanya understood he was a Mayavadi, so he just more enthusiastically than ever, he was just extolling with a loud voice Mayavad conclusions. And when Lord Chaitanya came in and he heard this, his eyes became red with anger. And in a loud voice he said, Advaita, are you propounding speculative knowledge or devotion? Of the two, which is better? And Advaitacharya said, It is an obvious fact supported by all the scriptures, and everyone knows it, that speculative knowledge is superior to devotion. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he jumped on the raised platform. He grabbed Advaita. He brought him to his outside courtyard. He threw him to the ground, and he began to beat him. And he was beating him and beating him and beating him. And Sita Thakurani, she was crying out, "Stop! He's an old man. If you beat him anymore, he will die. Save this old man. Leave him alone." And Lord Chaitanya was beating him. And after he beat him very sufficiently, Advaitacharya became very happy. He began to dance in ecstatic love, and he was crying out, "Today you have accepted me as your servant. Today, like a thief, I have stolen the position of servant." He said, "Previously you were worshiping me and honoring me like a senior, but today you have punished me and accepted me as your servant. Today my desires are fulfilled." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very embarrassed. And in this way, the loving reciprocation continued, and Advaitacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they all had wonderful kirtans, and they had nice prasad together. Just as Sri Advaitacharya called Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear, in the same way, toward the end of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Sri Advaitacharya sent a message to the Lord which indicated that you have fulfilled your mission. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that Sri Advaita called me to this world, and now he is sending me back to the spiritual world. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mangala are full of wonderful, wonderful stories of the loving reciprocations between Sri Advaitacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We will discuss further this evening in Car Center, where we will have a wonderful celebration of Sri Advaitacharya's appearance. Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu ki jai. We will do Harinam Sankirtan tonight in Car. During the Rath Yatra every year in Jagannath Puri, Sri Advaitacharya was one of the leading dancers. His beautiful dancing was most pleasing to the Lord and all of the devotees. So tonight, we will all beautifully dance at Car Station for the pleasure of Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu. We will continue our narration. At this time, we'll have a few minutes kirtan, and then we'll have nice prasad. The brahmacharis, headed by Sriman Sanat Kumar Prabhu, have arranged a wonderful feast in honor of this auspicious day. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Nithai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Om.